Good Thursday. Today is April the 10th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, recently, No-Till Magazine conducted a study of farmers looking at some of the farming practices they implement. Interesting data. We're going to take a look at that and how it has changed over the years. That coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the No-Till Farming Magazine recently conducted a study and shared their second half results. 3 years of national survey results have been collected on farmers who do no-till, and they use a lot of different equipment, different brands, and different sizes. A major change they found, though, has been a switch in planter size, especially to larger corn planters. No-till and probably most farmers have made that switch to 16-row or 40-foot corn planters at 31.2% of respondents. That was up 3.9%. The 24-row planters increased. They are now 18.2%, while 12-row planters have fallen from 28.4% down to 23.7%. Now farmers have less money to invest due to lower prices and weather concerns, so equipment is always a major expense on every farm. On no-till planter attachments, farmers are using coulters out front. That came in at 38.4%. Row cleaners, 67.6%. Closing wheels, 86.5%. Seed firmers, 64.2%. A down pressure system of some sort at 57.5%. Pop-up fertilizer application, that was 31.5%. And 2x2 fertilizer placement came in at 34.7%. Now on soybean narrow row spacings, anywhere from 7 to 10-inch spacings, that obviously common in the east, but less common in the south and west. About 54.2% of farmers are using 15-inch rows for soybeans. 5.6% are using 20-inch rows. 37.8% are still planting in 30-inch rows. Only 7.2% are using narrow rows or other spacing increments. And when asked about the intended farm equipment purchases for the coming year, planters were on top of the list at 25.4%, followed by new drills at 16.9%. The use of drones, 14.1%, draper headers at 13.4%, and roller crimpers at 11.3%. Other intended equipment purchases all fall under a total 10%. That would include vertical tillage equipment, air seeders, self-propelled sprayers, fertilizer applicators, pull-type fertilizer spreaders, strip-till equipment, and stripper headers. Last year in the survey, farmers spent $64,000 on equipment, or about $17,000 more than was expected per farm. That totaled in at $47,000. This year, expected purchases are even lower at $29,000, or that down $18,000 less than it was intended last year. Unfortunately, the equipment breaks down or is worn out, so if you want to farm, you probably have to look at some alternatives there. Many farmers are using more precision technology, they found. GPS auto steer tractors are used on 70.5% of farms in the survey, yield monitor data on 61.4%, field mapping on 56.1%, auto seed shutoffs on 51.6% of those surveyed, auto boom and nozzle shutoffs at 47.3%, variable seed rate fertilizer at 37.8%, and variable rate seeding at 30.6. Other technologies then would include satellite aerial imagery, GPS guidance as far as light bars, drones, and remote sensing. As we said, farming is becoming a high-tech business, and this survey data definitely plays that out. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions. Recently, commercial poultry producers participating in a USDA biological assessment for HPAI, or highly pathogenic avian influenza, found they have two options to consider. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Part of USDA's five-pronged strategy in addressing avian flu outbreaks in poultry flocks biological assessments.
Producers have really enhanced biosecurity, but there are still some issues with wild bird exposures to the viruses that wild birds are bringing onto the farm.
Lisa Rochette of the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service explains two types of assessments available to all commercial poultry producers not affected by HPAI. First, biosecurity incentives focused assessments.
Are you looking in the barns at the biosecurity plan that the producer is managing? A more general bucket of assessments, which really focus on the producer's own biosecurity plan that they've already got in place and evaluating how well they apply that plan to the farm. We also do look at the plan itself to see if any information needs to be updated and modified for current times.
Then there are wildlife biosecurity assessments.
Are you looking at things that are mostly outside of the barn and things in the environment and trying to mitigate those risks? Basically, where wildlife biologists will go and evaluate the different things that might attract wildlife to a premises and to potentially make it more likely that wildlife are sort of hanging out around barns and expose the premises to virus.
USDA will share up to 75% of the cost to fix the highest risk biosecurity concerns identified by the assessments. In addition, commercial poultry premises that have confirmed positive for HiPath AI must pass an audit prior to restocking if they wish to be eligible for indemnity for the restocked poultry.
The audit component actually is a carryover from a regulation that went out earlier this year, which basically requires when an infected premises is found, we place control areas around those premises that where we do focused surveillance activities and there's movement restriction. And part of that control area is considered a buffer area. And essentially, if you're moving birds into these control areas and specifically into what we call a buffer area, which means that you're not immediately near the infected premises, but you still need to be subjected to certain measures, then you are required to conduct an audit before you can restock birds onto the farm. Otherwise, in some ways, you assume your own risk if your birds do happen to break.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.